You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, and co-host Keelan Harvey on Alternative Talk AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage experts Tina Mitchell and Keelan Harvey.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell.
And your co-host, Keelan Harvey.
You're a local mortgage expert right here at 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, December 22nd show. Obviously, it's the our holiday show. It's a great day to talk about money, and that's what the show's all about, how to make money, save money, have a better quality of life for you and your family. If you're hearing our show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. To ask any questions to our guests, you can feel free to call the show at 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio, back again, we have Mike Patterson of Master Builder Association's The Housing Crisis. Mike, thank you so much for coming back in.
Thanks for having me. It's real good to be here.
Yeah, and a little bit about Mike. Mike is the Government Affairs Manager with Master Builder Association of King and Snohomish Counties. He previously has served as a lobbyist for the Realtors Association and worked at the State House Representatives. Mike is a Seattle native and graduate from Seattle University. Go Redhawks!
So, Mike, I was talking a little bit about the housing market, and so I was curious to get your opinion. What's the state of the current local housing market?
I think you were hitting the nail on the head when you talked about the economy and everybody relax a little bit.
Yeah.
It's important to sift through some of the headlines that might get you emotional. Interest rates and uncertainty in government. Really, we are heading towards a stabilized, balanced housing market. And that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
We're segueing away from the crazy, all leaning towards the seller market, which was frankly unhealthy. We're coming into a healthy housing market, and that's a good thing. But it's important to stay focused on the facts. Prices and inventory are getting to where they should be. They were not where they should have been.
Yeah, when I was doing retirement planning, I always used to say we were more or less managing emotions, right? Because history tells the tale. And so really, you just got to manage your emotions and make the best decisions that you can.
Yeah, and it is great news, just like you said, Mike, that we're coming back to a balanced market, which is a great thing for everybody involved in the process. So, Mike, what can we expect from the state legislature this year regarding housing?
In Olympia, I am expecting maybe the biggest year in decades regarding housing. There is a lot of momentum to cure our housing crisis. We all see the problems out there, sometimes tragically. We have a terrible homeless problem. We have people that can't get into houses, people living 2 hours away from work. And these are very real problems. And more than ever, I'm hearing directly from legislators that they want to do something about it. So at MBA, we have 7 bills we're ready to introduce, and there are others to address these problems where the legislature has been shy about it in the past.
And so you said 7. What's that in comparison to what you typically would come in with for a year?
Yeah, usually I come in with 2 or 3 bills.
Okay, wow.
And I hope to get 1 passed.
Yeah.
And that's doing well. But
you think with these 7 bills, what's your realistic goal that might get passed?
4 or 5. I'm very optimistic.
That's awesome.
Yeah. At the Master Builders, we spend our summer speaking with legislators about solutions to the crisis. And never before has there been so much agreement that, one, there is a problem. That's the first step.
Uh-huh.
Like so many things in life, let's agree that there's a problem.
Yes.
And there's unanimity in the fact that there's a problem.
Well, and also, everything that happens behind the scenes with that, I had an opportunity to go to Hill Day in Olympia, and wow, what an experience. And I was just there an observer, and even as an observer, really being instructed in how things were going to go down, what was going to happen, and watching what you guys do. And I mean, it was pretty impressive and pretty amazing to see all of the fight for what we're wanting to do for our area here.
Yeah, I'm glad you had that opportunity, and anybody can go do that, and
yes.
I would encourage everybody to do that. You'll quickly understand how difficult it is to get even a simple common sense idea through the process.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, Mike, what exactly is, in your opinion, hurting the housing market here locally?
What's hurting the housing market is there's a missing middle. There are plenty of high-end homes, and there are affordable homes, but they're far away. Our communities have missed out on supplying housing to the middle. Median income families, that want a home very badly, but they don't want the social impact to their families of having to drive 2 hours to work or even further in some cases. And that's both ways. That's not just one way.
Yeah.
So the missing middle is the biggest thing hurting us. And by missing middle, I mean housing price at that median range.
Yeah.
It's so hard to find. And there are a variety of factors that lead to that.
Yeah.
That's so true. I mean, I've done fortunately, I love first-time home buyers. I've been fortunate enough to help some families get some homes, and
you are a young guy, so you kind of attract those families.
It just happens, you know. And but a lot of these people are making real-life tough decisions on where they're going to commute from their jobs to where they're going to live. We're looking at Everett out in the outskirts. I mean, some heavy traffic, and they're just swallowing it. They're like, it is what it is, because home ownership's a wonderful thing at the end of the day, and it's going to improve you economically significantly. But that's a tough pill to swallow,
Yeah, yeah. So, Mike, what about the positive side? What are you seeing as helping our housing market?
The good news is that there is steady growth.
Okay.
There's two sides to that. Growth is sometimes difficult to accommodate, but with regards to housing, we know it's coming. The state and our local governments have a very good track record of predicting what the growth is going to be. So that is helping stabilize our ability to bring product to the market and know how much we need. And that's a little bit esoteric and down in the weeds. But it's very helpful to have that steady demand that we know is coming.
Yeah.
We can plan accordingly. And I think that that's the most helpful aspect of all this. We have a predictable, steady growth pattern. It's up to us to address it.
Yeah.
So tell us about tariffs, Mike. What kind of impact are tariffs having on our housing market?
Yeah, this is something I've had the pleasure of talking about several times. It's a real impact. It sounds like, we're putting a tariff on lumber and steel, and that doesn't, maybe that's bad. It doesn't affect me. It does affect you.
Yeah.
I'm calculating for each home that we're building, it's between $15,000 and $20,000 added cost per home.
Wow.
And that's real money.
That's crazy.
And especially mortgage experts, what that turns into over the life of a mortgage. Mm-hmm. It's real money, and it will price people out of homes.
Yeah.
Any incremental increase prices people out of homes, and this is more than incremental. So, and the other downside is there's no benefit to this added cost. Sometimes if there's an added cost to housing, well, there's some tangible benefit you got from that added cost. Maybe there was a new requirement, but it meant better insulation or something like that. Tariffs is money down the drain.
Yeah. And, off a little bit topic here, but I was just thinking about it. Going back to bills and how to strengthen the ability and making home ownership more possible, do you think there's a possibility that a tax credit would ever come back in like we had after the financial meltdown?
Possible.
Yeah. Any conversations happening behind the scenes with that?
There absolutely are.
And there's
some other very creative things regarding taxes coming up in the legislature this year. If you don't mind me jumping into it just a little bit.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Well, I think condominium production is a crucial missing element in our housing supply, and we could talk for a very long time about that. And we are currently overproducing apartments. There's really a glut of apartments out there right now. So there is an effort to create equity out of your rent when apartments turn into condominiums.
Yes.
So as you're renting, you're actually building equity for when that building converts into condominium, which will lead to home ownership. So there are some creative financing ideas out there.
That is very creative, yes.
Yeah, so we'll be spending a lot of energy on that in Olympia this year.
It's a new idea. You're the first one that I've heard bring that up. That's really great news.
Well, it is actually hot off the press. We've just started.
I love the hot off the press.
That's right.
That's what happens when you do a radio show.
we just started putting the pencil to paper on this, and hopefully that we'll have a bill in early January.
Love it.
Yeah, that's really neat. A solution to the condo conversion. I like that a lot.
Yeah, actually, condo legislation will be our number one priority this year. Condo construction is a third to a quarter what it has been traditionally. And there's going to be one very important, well-backed bill to fix a lot of the construction liability issues that have, frankly, scared builders off from building them. That's why you don't see condos, because it's too risky to build them. So after several years of trying, more than ever this year, we have momentum for that. And I'm actually very excited about getting something done.
That is exciting. Mm-hmm. So where do you see the future demand trending, Mike?
Well, there's two ways to look at that. And the first is housing type. Mm-hmm. We are going to get denser. You're going to see more townhomes. And what you're really going to start seeing very soon is more transit-oriented development with all the trains coming in mm-hmm. around the region. The cities with those hubs and those stations are planning, as we speak, to build very dense multi-use housing at those, as much as 150 units per acre. So very dense housing, right. Transit-oriented, pedestrian-oriented, very livable, walkable communities. And for those that appeals to, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to help our transportation problems, our housing crisis, because we're going to, while they will be smaller units, it's increasing supply, and that's a good thing. So expect in the next few years to see some pretty exciting projects coming online where you might not have expected them to come.
Yeah, exciting. What about other trends that you're seeing for housing?
Yeah, well, like I said, the density is the big one.
Okay.
And we are still pushing out further, places like Marysville and Lake Stevens, and then areas south to Puyallup are going to continue to grow, and even more, because we are expecting 1,200,000 people here over the next 20 years, additional people.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I can't even comprehend how we would handle that.
Yeah, I often say
we got to figure this out quick.
I know. I always say it's like adding another Kirkland to the Puget Sound region every year. That's how many people are coming.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so the trend has to be bigger because they're not making more land. So we have to make better use of the land we have.
Definitely.
So, Mike, we're not going to take you off the hook. Tell us about the Gingerbread Village.
So excited.
We want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Yes, right. It is the season.
And we're going to put a link on this. Victoria will put a link on the Facebook to check it out.
Oh, thank you. Uh-huh. Yeah, at the Master Builders, we're very privileged to work with the Sheraton Hotel in Seattle and the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, awesome. JDRF, mm-hmm. in presenting this year the 28th annual Gingerbread Village.
Gingerbread Village.
If you have never seen it, you have to go.
Talk about the size.
It's about 8 feet long, 6 feet wide, about 8 feet tall.
That's huge,
and there's five of them.
Oh, wow.
It's not just ours. And they're amazingly creative and artistic people that take part. And it's just wonderful.
How long does it take them to build those? I have my daughter, and we're trying to find a bigger version of, but we spend like a long, long time because it's just not coming out. And then sometimes we're just like, we're not going to even finish it. It looks so bad now.
Well, we start in July. Yeah. Designing it.
Wow.
And start the Sheraton is very generous. They give us our own kitchen to work in, which helps. So we actually start building it in September for unveiling the Monday before Thanksgiving, and it runs through New Year's. So someone can go down all the way through New Year's Day to check it out. You will be wowed. It has wow factor. I'm not shy about saying there's wow factor.
No doubt. You know,
a lot of love goes into it, and it's just amazing. So
we'll stop by and check it out. Some of our listeners will as well. Yeah. So, Mike, thank you so much for coming back in studio. It's always a pleasure.
It was very good to be here. Thank you.
Coming up next on the Money Hour, utilizing 1031 exchange on investment properties, we have Kyle Williams of IPX 1031 right here at 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.